What is up, my kings and queens and all in between? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast, season two, you guys. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for being here. I wanted to ask you a favor. Please go to your ratings, your reviews, give us those stars so others like yourself can have an opportunity to see this in their algorithms. And that song you just heard is called Mi Corazón. You can download wherever you stream your favorite music. Just search for Mi Corazón, written by Andrew Velasquez, produced by Aaron McLendon. And here we are, your one-stop shop place for all things mindfulness, creativity. I have another amazing special guest, you guys. It's Jastin King, everybody. Welcome, Jastin. How are you?
Woo, that's good. How are you doing?
I mean, such a celebrity name, too. Like, Jastin King. Like,
good.
Is that your real name? Ah, no. I see. It's so cool. I love it.
It is now. It is now.
There you go. Once it's been in the invoices and the checks for a while, it's yours, right?
There you go. Right.
So who is Jastin King? A man of many talents, Jastin King can be found behind the DJ booths at the Burgundy Room, the Fault Line, or Revolver, which is in West Hollywood, everybody, if you don't know, California, which coincidentally runs his video montage work round the clock. Some nights you'll catch him trying out new material at LA's comedy hotspots. Other nights he's at screening some of his films like Ouroboros, winner of the 2013 Hump Festival, or the new transgender documentary Finding Kim. The lore of music can drag him onto stages with the bands he's playing guitar for or fronted. Sometimes it'll all come together like Charlie, The Death of Nancy Full Force, Los Angeles Fringe Festival's Best Musical 2011, the alt-rock murder mystery musical hero, and starred in and is currently adapting to a screenplay. Congratulations. Yeah. Chances are, if he's not doing one of the above, he's at home, passed out in the loving embrace of his precious pug, Miss Squid. Welcome, welcome, Jastin King. How are you, babe?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. That's hearing all that just makes me exhausted.
No.
I'm like, really? Could I stop now? Is that enough?
That's amazing. I applaud you. Congratulations. Okay. How does it feel to hear back your accomplishments and just a little bit of like your portfolio?
I know so sometimes when I explain it to other people, it just seems like it's kind of pew, 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 like it's just all over the place. But to me, like, it's one thing just always led to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. So it's like, to me, it's all just sort of related, but because I was, you know, I was there as it kind of evolved. But sometimes, yeah, when I hear it back, there's things that I forgot about, like even doing stand up and stuff. I mean, I did that for a while, but then nowadays I don't really do it as much. But it's I don't know, it's kind of funny when I hear it all in a row, you know, because I guess I'm always kind of thinking what I'm doing right now, what I got to do next. So, you know, so sometimes when you have someone or you read something about yourself and it's like the stuff you've already done, you're like, oh, wow, I guess. Yeah.
I relate my fellow Capricorn brother. Yes, we have that. Capricorn brain that keeps us going. But no, I mean, there are no rules for artists and creatives in general. Like, and yeah, you said it perfectly. I think every opportunity you have had has leveled you up to get better for the next opportunity. So had you not experienced all those different, you know, jobs,
and a lot of times they come together later. Sometimes I'll try something, you know, it doesn't really go far, but whatever, and then I'll go back to what I was doing, and then, you know, then it kind of meets up, like, oh, I wouldn't be able to get here if I hadn't done this here, you know. And then there's
something particular about one weird job. Like I remember in cosmetology school, I had this crazy summer job at El Torito's and Acapulco as a karaoke KJ. And it was honestly the funnest job. Like, and I'm not a singer whatsoever, but just getting the crowd going. And so I feel that now I'm tapping a little bit into my karaoke KJ-ness with this microphone in front of me. So yeah, I feel like every little random kind of artistic experience is going to help you evolve to the next and shape you as the artist that you should become. So there are no rules when it comes to
sometimes it even helps. Sometimes I realize it even helps just like in your daily life, like even doing stand-up way back when. I was very nervous. I mean, I would public speaking and stuff. I could scream in a rock band on a microphone with a guitar and other noise going on, or, you know, play music in a club and scream over a microphone or something like that, but while DJing. But to be silent and just talk to a crowd of people would terrify me. So that's why I did it, because I was like, I need to just, you know, go so out of my comfort zone to burst the, you know, to get rid of my self-consciousness that's maybe there. But I realized that just kind of applies now more to even stuff like this. I'm much more comfortable talking to people and, you know, finding the humor in things and stuff, instead of, you know, doesn't that really just kind of broke my shell of doing that. So, and that too, awesome. I later did like some burlesque stuff, and I would host those shows, which I would not have been able to do if I hadn't done the stand-up stuff. So
that's
yeah,
so
it all just kind of comes back later, I guess.
Yeah, it's all relative, yeah. And they're all part of the journey and the craft. So let's go rewind a little bit, shall we? Okay. Let's go back in time. Baby Jastin King, where were you born? Where did you grow up? Were you always creative? And did you have support growing up? Tell us about that journey.
I grew up in Oregon, Salem, Oregon. Not the cool Salem, not the witchy Salem, but the white trash Salem.
Gotcha.
But I left there when I was like 15 or so. So it's kind of weird when sometimes people say like, where'd you grow up? Friends I still know from Oregon are like, oh, you're from here. But I don't know. When you leave so early and you're not back to really visit and jog your memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember anything. It's almost like I remember it in like third person, you know, it's so long ago. So
that makes sense.
So it's,
so that's where you were born, but you really were raised in Los Angeles then?
Yeah. Like Southern California for sure. Like,
okay.
I left there. I mean, we had family, you know, the typical divorce and stuff. I had to kind of leave, but I was a scrappy kid. I was a total like street teenager, skipped school, hung out in the street with like homeless people and smoked cigarettes and went to punk shows and all that stuff. So when I left
80s
there,
and 90s was a vibe. Yeah,
totally. So when I left Oregon, we went to San Diego, like North County, San Diego. Too scared to go to LA right away. I knew I wanted to do music. So I was like in creative and I knew I played guitar already, but I didn't know. I just knew that I wouldn't make it if I was in Oregon, you know? So I was like, I need to go to like, you know, a bigger city. So I thought I was going to go to New York, but then an opportunity came up to California. And then we just went to San Diego first, just a couple of years to kind of ease our way into then coming to LA.
Yeah.
So I feel more like going back home when I go visit San Diego. That jogs more memories and kind of feels more. San Diego has a big music scene too that I still like. I go down and see a lot of those bands. So
sure.
They like Rocket from the Crypt and the Locust. And I used to go down to see the Blood Brothers down there, and so that really like has great memories for me. So and even like I get more into the mindset of sometimes when I have to write new stuff, I go there and kind of bask in the initial idea of my interest in playing music.
Interesting.
And then it kind of starts it up again. And then I can come home with notes, and I come home with bar napkins and stuff written on the back of books and everything. And
I love that.
Kind of pile that together, you know, just kind of get out of my bubble here and go there. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah. No, reconnect.
It makes so much sense. I remember writing my book as well and having a little bit of writer's block, and same thing. I would go back to East LA, Boyle Heights, where I grew up, in that one house. I would park in front, listen to whatever I was listening to at that time, and then just kind of like type away and write away. So that's really cool that you're able to connect with that and get in tune with your creative flow back in San Diego, where the you know seed was planted for
totally
your future.
Yeah. I do that sometimes now. Like,
you're good.
If I start to do something new, or if I have to perform something or whatever, sometimes I'm just like, maybe more behind the scenes, and when I have to get in front of the camera or get back on stage or something, I'm just like, oh, like I haven't done this in a while, or hey, why am I doing this?
Makes
why
you
am
grounded.
I like, worthy of being up here? I have to kind of think back to those things, the old times, and be like, oh yeah, remember that you were a kid that wanted to do this, and how many other things you've done since then. So like, oh yeah, I guess I could be up here. So people.
Yeah, I understand.
You kind of have to hype up my ego a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, and that's the part of the human experience as well as the artistic expression, is this juxtaposed balance of the human ego and the soul, because neither of them can exist without the other, right?
Yeah.
And so we really, you know, as Queen Mother herself, RuPaul, who's actually from San Diego, says herself, you know, our inner saboteur, and sometimes that translates into imposter syndrome, and we all have a little bit of that to some degree, but I love that you're able to go back to where your roots were and be grounded and maybe take off your shoes and get in the sand barefoot, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So everyone find your like safe space to regroup, you know, take that fresh breath in and be able to come back and feel grounded and say like, you got this, you know what I mean? Like, you have a little moment of, you know, negativity or inner saboteur, little bitch voice, whatever you want to call it. Give it an expiration date. Give it a time frame. Acknowledge it, and then move forward, because it's temporary. It's all temporary. It's just going to go away. Yeah. So dang, 15, 16, San Diego. And then when did LA come about?
I think LA was probably, I think right when I turned 20. So like 2000, I think. Yeah,
that's significant. San Diego. 20 in 2000. Yeah.
Yeah. The year always equals the year always equals my age. So. Yeah, because born in 1980.
There's a parallel. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it was around 2000 or so. I was playing in some bands in San Diego, and then just local bar bands and stuff. And then I think I went to Long Beach first for like a little bit. Again, just kind of inching my way to LA.
Yeah, just little by little.
And then by then too, I was kind of coming up for clubs a lot, coming up for shows a lot for LA. So it just made sense to just personally, I was just always coming up here for stuff. So, it's like 2000, I think I moved up here, and then that's when I started going out more, because in San Diego, I was, from what's that 15, 16 to 19, 20, was like, I didn't really have any friends. I mean, I didn't go to school. I dropped out and did GED. And so I just worked like shit, like coffee shop jobs and stuff. And then during the day, then I'd go home and write music. I mean, I was like, every single day I wrote songs and recorded stuff or practiced guitar. And it was just always, I was obsessed, just want to be in a band. So, by the time I got up to LA, it was like, I was just like, hit the ground running to like, I would go to nightclubs and dance clubs and making friends. Yeah. And literally, when people would hand out flyers for clubs, I would hand out flyers with my number on it to see if people would play in a band with me.
Wow.
It's like looking for drummers or singers.
Talk about
or anything.
The old school networking, right?
Totally. Yeah. I was that weirdo that was like just going up to everybody to try to figure out like put something together. So yeah, that was like 2000. I've been here pretty much the whole time since. I've temporarily gone back to Portland to do a play. I went to London for a while and lived. And so, but for the most part, I just always come back. I mean, I've always felt LA is a great spot to stay and then kind of go out from,
Yeah. I mean, it is the central of, entertainment and all forms of art in general. And talk about networking. Like Los Angeles is like the mecca of networking. You know what I mean? Like if anybody wants to become something, it's going to happen there. I love that. Very cool. Okay.
And sometimes people like give LA shit for like, oh, everybody has something they're doing or always. But also I'm like, well, why is that a bad thing? I think that's kind of cool. Not. It's like go to cities where people aren't doing anything. And then come back and tell me about that. So it's like, I get it.
Definitely everybody's a different mindset.
But then there should
be a little bit of a balance. With that hustle mentalities. I mean, I'm learning that now. I can speak from, personal experience that I was kind of addicted to the chaos and the stress of the city, not even knowing, that I lived off of like anxiety and fear, really just going from one gig to the next gig. And over here, I'm like, oh, I don't have to have like five jobs. I can just have like three and really, set the intention and focus on like what brings me joy. And so that's why I wanted to create this safe space for other artists that are trying to like figure it out, navigate their careers and, feeling overwhelmed with so many things, but know that there are others like ourselves that have been able to find what brings them joy, gives them that like, butterfly sensation, and you can make a career out of it. You just got to like figure it out. Right.
And also too, what to separate from career and fun. I've kind of realized that I think post pandemic too, is like not everything I find fun or interesting has to be turned into something I do for work,
Right.
Sometimes every time you find something fun, you're like, oh, like I want to do that too. Or I want to like, how can I incorporate that into like something music or something,
Yeah. Like, you don't actually take away the fantasy from it.
Yeah, it could be like, No, let me just do this for fun. It's kind of like traveling or something too. It's good to like get out of my bubble and, kind of get away from what I do and find new cool stuff that interests me. But I don't necessarily have to bring all that back into my work when I come home.
Absolutely.
My downtime, have some stuff that I find fun.
Yeah, no, and it's okay to be selfish. It's okay to have some, things that are hobbies and they're going to like feed your creative juices and keep that flow going. But like you said, it doesn't have to be something that you put down on paper and stress yourself out about making an income. If it just brings you joy, it brings you joy. Like that's period. That's all that matters,
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Yes. So what practices or routines do you have in place to nurture your creativity? Are you spiritual anyway while running your business?
I think I'm not, never, God, it's kind of within the last few years. I think I've gotten more, in touch with like following the signs of, I mean, it sounds super hippy dippy, but maybe like following signs of the universe and just kind of listening to instincts you have in your head.
Love it.
Looking for synchronicities and numbers and things that really kind of get you in touch with being on your, like what I feel is like the right path. I mean, even there's some quote that's like, even if you're off your path, but you know you're off your path, then you're still on it because you know you're off, right?
Yeah.
If you're off your
The awareness of it.
Yeah,
as
you're
part
aware
of
and
it.
like you know to get back, but like if you're off of it, then it's like, and you don't know that, then you're maybe in some trouble. But like I always feel like, yeah, kind of staying on, I know the feeling of when I'm doing the right thing, so I try to keep that. I'm not really a religious person or anything. I mean, definitely when I was younger, I was a lot more into like occults and witchcraft and more the darker kind of things, which is maybe just being more of like just a heavy metal nerd, I think. But then that's kind of turned into being older now. It's kind of now I'm just like some witchy bookstore lesbian with like crystals and, you know, like all the stupid stuff. So
Stop.
incense
Me
and sage
too.
and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, I love it.
So that's kind of more my stuff now. It's like, I mean, we could even say later the books and stuff I read are a lot more like not occulty, but kind of more about what afterlife and that kind of stuff gives me more of a, I don't know. It's, I mean, it sounds stupid, but ghosts and spiritual signs and being, I don't know, that kind of connects
It's
me
proof that
personally.
we're part of something bigger. Yeah, absolutely.
So that kind of makes me more grounded and comfortable personally. And then work-wise, I can kind of, yeah, I know when to go to work and come home from work, I guess,
And
even if I'm
separate
doing
them.
it at home
Yeah.
physically. Yeah. But
Yeah.
mentally, I have, I guess, kind of feeling. That's how I kind of find that more, maybe not so much in my work, but I find it more in my at home. In
Yeah.
work, I find my motivation or something maybe more in, or if I need to, I think what I said earlier about traveling, you know, that always helps me a lot because you're at home, especially if you're a person that works at home too, you know, like when I do a lot of my video editing and filming and stuff, it's all just kind of at home and it's all around on boards and charts everywhere and stuff.
Right.
So
It's good to get
sometimes I
out of
need
that
to,
space.
totally, yeah, to really get out of it. But also, I go and kind of like a sponge if I go to a new country or a new city and stuff, and to kind of really soak up. I go to everything from, you know, dances to like clubs to like ballet to museums to, you know,
All
crazy
genres.
underground parties, like to everything that you can kind of pull together.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier now, I think, with social media to kind of go see things or kind of find stuff in other
Yeah.
countries or whatever. But, you know, it is better in person to just get out the door and walk and soak it all up. And then when you come home, I kind of don't sweat the small things and about my work or any problems I have. And I have a whole new bunch of stuff that I can apply to my life. And I go, you know, I leave the, I come home with like songs, different music that, you know, that people don't even know here. You know, it's kind of crazy that over in some other places, like number one, you know, it's like, so it always kind of blows my mind to get out of my bubble, go see everybody else's bubble to come back
Period.
and like,
No, I relate. I think
share that. Yeah.
there's something about even just like the act of traveling in air. I don't know for you, but for me, I'm super vulnerable up there and I get a lot of words and visions and I'll
Yeah.
immediately just start like writing, just making notes of different things that might not really make sense at that time. Then when I get to the destination, you're present, you're experiencing everything that's there, but you come back, you're enlightened and you have just a different outlook in life and different perspective on your artistry. So it's part of the evolution of like your style too. So it's like the human experience with the artist experience together. Yeah. I
Yeah,
love that.
sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I've traveled within the states and I've taken a train to get to where I gotta go, or taken, you know, a bus to where I gotta go and then fly back purposely just to unwind. Because sometimes up until you gotta leave, you gotta like, oh, I gotta finish this and I gotta do this and this before I leave. And then you get on the plane and your brain is just like, but you know, all over the place. And then you land and it's all the hassle of hotels and finding where you gotta go. So it's so hard to be centered and try to start being inspired or start to
That's a
like
good
have
point.
fun. So sometimes I would like, let me just take a 24-hour train and unwind along the way. And then I
That's
show
dope.
up and I'm ready for it. And then when I'm done, then I'm ready to get back home and fly back home, you know. But same thing, I like the second I'm in a plane or something, like I said, I'll turn my books over and the blank pages on back of books, I just start writing stuff. And so then I come home with a like a ton of notes.
Love it.
So
Love
yeah,
it.
it's definitely just kind of break your routine and break your environment, you know, really helps me the most, I think.
Awesome. That actually
Yeah.
leads me into my next question. If you were able to share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs like yourself, looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work.
I think main thing, I think when I started, and I kind of tell people now, people who approach me about when they want to do photos or videos or something, I always hear the thing of like, oh, I want to do this, but I got to wait till I have the money to do it. Or I got to wait till I have like the musician to do it with, or I got to wait till I have, you know, this or that, you know, like,
yeah,
people always think that they need like, you know, a fucking like Madonna budget to do something at all, you know, so they just don't do it, you know, so it's like, I try to help when I work with other people now to get what they want to do in their head, to break it down into the steps to get to that, to get it done, you know, not just kind of think about it. There's a lot of people who want to think about it a lot and talk about it a lot, but it doesn't move, you know, like doesn't get done.
Correct.
So I always say, even if it's something you're going to throw away later, just do it, record it, sing it, perform it, just keep doing it, keep notes of everything. Even if you have an idea, and then the next day, maybe you don't care about that idea or not as, you know, hyped up about it as you were yesterday. Still keep it. Like I keep a whole bin of like notes that I've written and full on like video ideas or concepts or something, or even songs I've written and stuff, but I still save them. I don't throw anything away because sometimes, you know, it helps to dig through that pile and pull something out of there. That's like, oh, this is perfect for this now or something. So I always tell like people who are starting or something, like just do it, pen to paper. Cause then it also, if you just keep writing, you're eventually going to start getting to the point where like, oh, okay, now this is getting good. And this is what I want to do. But you know, you need to kind of get the wheel started, you know? And then even for people who already do a lot of stuff, and which I find myself last couple of years and getting stuck in, is, you know, I kind of learned all these things, video skills or camera and stuff, and to do my own projects, you know, or creative ideas that I had. But then I've kind of used that into a job now to do that with other people and help other people or be hired to be the video guy for other people. And so and then that's kind of taken over where I'm kind of losing my own projects. Or so I tell myself, and as well as other people who do this, to do like so just every once in a while, it doesn't have to be for money or for a project or anything. It could just be for fun. Grab a friend, have a play day, grab cameras, go just shoot something for fun. And then you kind of, you know, you'll find other ideas. Or sometimes I get new equipment. I haven't used it yet. So I'm like, you know what? Let's just go, you know, who's free? Let's just go make a little bunzy, little short film or a little photo shoot or something. And that just, it always kind of leads to that people will see that and they'll be like, you'll get hired for something else after that, you know, like, it just kind of always leads, but just to do stuff for fun, just again, to kind of get back in touch with why you did it in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a couple takeaways. Definitely. I relate to what you mentioned earlier about just hearing other artists or even yourself, you talk about it, you see about it, you're downloading maybe podcasts about it, about what you want to like pursue, but it's like, where's the action? Where's, you know, it's almost the distraction with the procrastination. It's like you're often being distracted with other noise and comparing yourselves to the Madonna budget or whatever it is that you don't have versus, you know, looking at the present moment and what you do have, being grateful for what you are able to achieve right now and just freaking doing it. Just go out and just do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, write down your list. Yes, visualize it, have a mood board. That way you're manifesting it and it's going to come to fruition. But rather than just talking and talking and talking about it, just put some action to it and just bite the bullet and go do it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like,
yeah.
That's even it. Like, that's how you're going to learn.
Yeah. Like I said, even if you throw it away or if something you're like, I did it, but don't put it out there. Sometimes I even say, David Fincher, you know, when DVDs had commentaries, I would always listen to those and stuff. And there's a great one with, I think, Fight Club or something where Fincher said that he would. Oh,
such a good movie. Yeah.
He was like, after he did the movie, he's like, okay, now I, and watched it. He's like, okay, now I want to do it again. Cause like after you see it and then what you've done, you're like, oh, wait, here's how now you kind of see a closer vision, but it's, you know, you can like, scrap that. Let me do it again. And then you'll do it the way you wanted. You know, you really can see it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So sometimes I do that a lot with like music and demos and stuff. I'm like, let me just record it now. And then I'll listen to it tomorrow. I'll be like, okay, delete that. Now let's do it, and then I'll do it the next time, and then I'll get it right. You know,
so. Yeah, you've reflected. You have a different mindset and different perspective at that point, so you are able to bring in a different energy to it. So, makes a lot of sense. Super cool.
Cool.
So now that you have accomplished so much, I mean, music, DJing, photography, art, just pretty much every genre and medium of artistry that you could possibly think of. How do you measure success in both your creative and entrepreneurial pursuits? And do they ever overlap in any way?
I guess I kind of think, I mean, it is kind of hard. I think my initial thing of success was just the classic, like I said, I was obsessed with playing in a band, and that's all I wanted to do. I mean, that was, because also that too is sort of a thing that it did incorporate a performance aspect, music aspect, as well as album artwork, as well as video artwork, everything. So being in a band is kind of like, it's not just playing music, it's kind of a full package deal, you know. Which, you know, it's even like
Multimedia.
the yeah, and even like theater is like that and stuff too. You know, it's like, so that's what I always kind of liked about that. But you know, I always kind of measured success back in the day of like, you got to play in a band, get a fan base, sign to a label, go on tour, put out an album, win an award, or you know, go on. But that whole kind of system is kind of dead now. You know, it's not really, there's not music labels as much the way there used to be. There's not
Correct.
MTV anymore. There's not.
Correct.
So when my band was kind of right at the end of that, I was in a band, Kill Radio, and we got signed and we toured for years and got to do, you know, Warped Tour. I mean, went on tours, like did festivals with like Green
Amazing.
Day and the Pixies and Beastie Boys and, you know, the crazy, crazy stuff.
Wow.
So, and I got to be on MTV and got to go in the studios and, you know, got to go, our label was Columbia. So I got to go to, up in the building of New York and see my picture next to like Bette
That's
Midler
so
and
rad.
yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. But also I was like, well, I knew like everything was kind of industry, right? I'm like, you know, when your picture is next to Bette Midler, you're like, I'm not going to make the numbers that Destiny's Child and some are making like beside us. So, you know, it's, there's a bit of a end date there. But that was really hard actually when that stuff ended, when the band ended and the label kind of ended, and there, it took so much work to get up there that to start over was just, I just did not have the motivation, and that system wasn't really there anymore, you know. So it's kind of
Correct.
like what do I do, you know? And then that's how I kind of started doing stand up and burlesque and boylesque stuff and all kinds of like theater. That's when I started doing Charlie. I turned music to a play because I was like, well, at least that will, like Hedwig or Rocky Horror, can go on for many years, you know. So I guess when I kind of got rid of that mentality of music industry and that kind of climb of success, it's kind of more now of just like, what if, you know, it's nice to look back every once in a while and kind of see everything I've done. But then also, what is interesting me right now, and I think more these days, I focus more in on one thing specifically, or one or two. You know, it's kind of more not to be spinning a bunch of plates and putting your energy separate to everything, but really just focus down on like, okay, here's what I'm working on and what I want to be putting out there right now.
I like that
So that's kind
mentality,
of,
even just for
yeah.
life, too. Just streamlining your focus in general for
Yeah, I
everything,
think it
just
was.
like clean.
Yeah, there's some, I think Chelsea Handler or something, one of her podcasts or something, she has like the three rule where it's like, focus on just three things that, you know, like that make you happy. Don't try to do everything, you know? And then, because I used to think of like, oh, I'm just going to do everything and then something is going to take off, you know, or something's going to kind of click or something, or something will all apply together. I'll, Charlie even was just like putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm like, it's theater. I can do music and I'll do videos and projections and costumes and acting and bleh, and then,
It's
but then,
overwhelming.
yeah, then it's, you know, when you're the only person running it and writing it and doing it, it's like, ugh. By the time you actually do it, you're so exhausted, you can't have any fun. So it's
Yeah.
like,
And how do you enjoy it? Yeah.
yeah. So now, nowadays it's much more pacing myself and kind of judge the success of stuff of just, you know, that I'm happy doing it. And I feel at least I'm doing something creative, you know, I have enough work to pay the bills, and it's still a creative work. I get to do that, you know. I don't
Exactly.
have to have some sort of side job, and then, but I still have, I, as long as I still make time for something of my own, then that's just
Yeah.
satisfying. I don't care if three people see it or 3,000 people see it. It's like, at least I did it, and
Exactly.
it's there, and it's like, okay, that's cool. You know?
Well, and
Yeah.
it's also feeding that little innocence of young baby Jastin King that wanted the band. You know what I mean? And it's like making him proud, really, at the end of the day. It's fulfilling the accomplishments for selfish reasons, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then whoever resonates with at the end is like, awesome, that's great that you can touch someone else's lives, but you're doing it for yourself, then the work is more authentic, it's more of quality, and it's going to have a lot more value, I feel.
Yeah.
That's so
I kind of feel
cool. All
now,
right.
I feel now too that like even you do so much work for other people, but a lot of that is their ideas or something too. And sometimes,
Yeah.
you know, maybe I, or maybe in my opinion, I had like a better idea or a different way to do it. and then it just kind of got dumbed down or something. So when you get the time to do something of your own, and then you can show people that, then they'll see you and you'll get hired because of that. You know, like, oh, so then you're kind of hired up doing your own idea and your own quality of stuff. And then the work that you do for other people, it's a lot more authentic, I think, you know.
But constantly sharing it as well and celebrating it and seeing where it goes. So it can be seen and visible for others to experience. So I love that. Very cool. So that leads me into the new segment for season two.
The library is open! Yeah! Because reading is what?
Fundamental!
There you have it, darling.
Guys, it is called The Library is Open, and this is a space for our guests to share their favorite book, maybe that they're currently reading, or a book that you read in the past, Justin, and your top three reasons why. So go for it. What's your favorite book?
What did I can't remember what I gave. I think I gave you these ones. So this is what I'm currently reading. This is Kim Russo. She's like it's going to sound like, I recently just went to my friend's wedding and they made fun of me for like, Jason, we're losing you. You're like going all ghosts and paranormal and aliens and stuff. But
we welcome that here. It's all good. We love it.
I love that stuff. But also it's not like the silly kind of movie version of it. I really like she's like a medium and she really kind of, she's kind of taught me more of the powers of listening to your instincts and listen to the voices you have. And there's a reason why these things pop in your head or visions pop in your head. And, you know, it's kind of possibly something from the other side giving you, you know, a direction or just your own instincts, you know, being in tune with it, looking for synchronicities you know, just kind of, I don't know, kind of keeping on your own path, I guess. She's kind of been helpful with that, but. I know it sounds like I'm talking about the Long Island medium or something, but it's...
No, you're good. Listen, my mom passed away this last June, and she was the closest person that I ever was with in the world. And she's probably she is the reason that I am the person I am. And when she passed away and crossed over, you know, to the other side, like I was terrified. I was sad, all the things. Yeah. And it wasn't until I finally like had that, like, breakout moment of just I won't forget it. I'll never forget it. It was raining. It was a long day of work, and I just had this overwhelming sensation of anxiety, and I'm like, I just need to go on a run. I need to go on a run. So I just went on a run in the rain, and I was just like weeping. Like it was the cry that needed to happen, because I hadn't cried like that since my mom passed. And now I feel even closer to her, and it's so beautiful. Like, she comes to me in just these really beautiful, innocent ways of just safetiness and just guidance. And it's so, I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe that, you know, our ancestors or whoever it is that we're closest to that has crossed over will guide you. You just have to believe it and trust it and be aware of those like signs when you can be, you know.
Yeah. Well, sorry to hear about your mom. I remember
Thank you.
I heard you talking about one of the other podcasts, and I'm the same. Like, my only family is my mom. I mean, a lot of my friends know my mom. I bring her out to like clubs and stuff with bands I go and see. They know my mom because she's always
with me. What's your
like,
mom's name?
My mom's, she's Karen. Yeah. She's not Karen. A Karen, but her name is Karen. Yes.
I understand.
But the same thing.
Karen like, King.
There you go. I can't imagine like what do you, how you say that, how so close to your mom. And like, I can't imagine it. I'm terrified sometimes of like, ooh, what's going to happen when she's not there? Because I don't have it. I don't have kids. I'm not really in touch with any of my other family. So. Ooh, a little scary, but you know, it's also those things
you also have your chosen family, babe.
But also to appreciate everybody who's there and appreciate while she is here, you know. Don't start thinking about the bad stuff. And but also like Kim and stuff, she's very, and even there's also a couple other people I follow, like Kim and Greg and Dana Newkirk. They do like a lot of like witchy, not witchy stuff, but it's kind of more of that in touch with the earth and stuff, and more like, and how stuff like that maybe gets a little more of a reputation of being scary or silly or something. But it is, you know, we're all part of, you know, it's, again, sounds a little hippy dippy, but I mean, I go on walks every day and it's like, I look at trees and I look at the sky and think of like how, well, there's some, I think Mindspace or something once told me about how like the sky is almost like your thoughts, you know, sometimes it's cloudy, sometimes it's dark, sometimes it's completely clear. So I kind of think about that. And while I'm clearing my own head, I kind of look at stuff around me that's clear and everything.
That's beautiful.
So I kind of think of that space and being connected with everybody and not thinking about differences, but thinking about what we have in common and, you know, just being present, I think. And then I come home with a clearer mind too, you know, I'm like, okay. Calm down.
No, Mother Nature walks are meditative and super spiritual. I think that's a great way self and just breathe in the oxygen, exhale the negativity, and come back refreshed and just, you know, feeling gratitude pretty much. Like that's I think that's very important for a human experience to have on their regular, you know, practices daily, to just have a Mother Nature experience to some degree.
I think I love that. Another thing that happened during pandemic was, you know, everybody was taking walks and stuff, but I haven't really stopped. I still do it every day.
Same.
I love it. Like, I don't like going to the gym and getting on a treadmill. I'd rather walk, you know,
of course,
a few miles and then go to the gym and then come on. So it's like 100%. That's, you know, and then during lockdown too, you know, it was kind of being trapped out at home and kind of just getting too much in your head in a, not necessarily a good way. It was nice to get out and stuff. And so I still do that to this day, to kind of coffee up at home, think about all the things I got to do, get out of the house, stop for a second, come home, and then focus on what I got to do that day, you know?
Yeah. Reflect resets. Helps.
Yeah. Cause otherwise if I just get up and start going, then I'm just, I'm all over the place, you know? So
yeah, it's just chaotic.
So I need to like stop. And then,
Good job, Justin.
My other book I had was this one. This is a longtime favorite book.
Yeah.
It's called We Are the Neutron Bomb. It's it's by Mark Spitz, who was an editor for Spin magazine back in the day, and Brendan Mullen, who was like a club owner back in the day here in LA. But it really is like it's like the history of like LA punk scene back in like the 80s and early or late 70s. So this was a big deal because I feel like when people talk about that era of music, it's always the New York Blondie Ramones scene, or it's the London you know, Sex Pistols Clash stuff.
But it was in LA as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is like the Go-Go's, the Cramps, Devo, I mean, the Germs, crazy, crazy stuff. And it's all kind of, they all are telling it themselves. So it's all just in different quotes. So you can kind of start and stop whenever. And then just recently,
We Are the Neutron Bomb. Very cool. Yeah.
And it came up recently because I'm working at World of Wonder. Speaking of Mama Roo and the library.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The building that World of Wonder is in used to be a club called the Mask Club. And
I remember that.
It's where the Go-Go's first started. They used to rehearse there. And if you go in the basement, it's all spray painted. And World of Wonder kept it all up. So they didn't cover it at all because they knew the history of that building.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you go down there, you'll see the Go-Go's and stuff. And it's the Go-Go's who spray painted it when they're like teenagers, you know. So it's kind of fascinating.
That's so
rad. The history. But it's kind of funny to go to World of Wonder now for work. I do a lot of their photos and events and stuff. And it's like, it's cool to see like, oh, this is the building. It kind of all comes together, you know, different interests of mine. They actually have a lot in common, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been to that particular room that you're talking about, but I have been to the World of Wonder headquarters a couple times. Once to record Transformations with James St. James, which was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, he's such a legend.
Totally.
But speaking of Rue, who, give us your top three queens.
Oh, God. of all time? Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that earlier because I was kind of trying to jog my memory before this.
Because you've worked with many of them, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I've worked in clubs for years. So I used to do kind of the first gay clubs I did was because I used to DJ like the Sunset Strip and do like the Roxy. And then I did Rage for a while. I used to have a rock night and I did that for a while. But it wasn't until I went to Fubar. Yeah, well, I did Foo Bar for a while. Akbar had some great rock nights and Jukebox and all that stuff too.
Yes, yes.
They still do. They still have a great music selection there. But it wasn't until I went to Foo Bar and I started working with Shishi LaRue, who had a night there, that when she wouldn't be there, I would fill in for her because she mostly spun rock stuff. So then I was rock guy to come and do it. But then when she was gone, they'd have a host. And that's how I met Raja, Morgan McMichaels, Angina, Pandora.
Oh, geez.
Mayhem, all those girls were like, Alaska used to work the door. Willem would work the door.
Yeah, that's when Johnny was a go-go dancer there too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's so funny to hear like all these people now, Detox and stuff, used to, you know, perform on the bar there and stuff. And just were all just local girls, you know. It was like, there wasn't even a show yet, you know.
Yeah.
So, I guess my favorites of all time. Oh, good God. Probably of all time. I mean, Raja is not only a longtime friend of mine, but she's just amazing. I mean, good Legend. God, that mm-hmm. all winter season, she just killed it the whole time.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Agree.
So her, I absolutely love. I don't know. Detox again. Every time I run into her.
Yeah. Like, she's fun too. Just great energy. Her style. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I ran into her at a club or something not that long ago. And of course, everybody was just like on her. And then I just grabbed her hand. I was like, we're going. And then we walked outside. And she's like, I love that we've known each other so long. You could be like, we're leaving. And then we're just
like, yeah.
But her and then God, I'm trying to think of some of the newer ones. I really like a lot of the UK seasons that Drag Race has been doing.
Yeah.
So I love this, like,
last
Vivian.
One was great.
Yeah. But like Vivian and even like Lawrence Chaney and stuff and Bag of Chips, mm-hmm. I've known for a few years. And so, those, I like that what's going on with those seasons. They're really, both the American ones are getting very young. And, you know, I'm kind of running out of the people that I know that around here are kind of in touch with.
I find I'm watching UK more than Canada too.
Yeah. Canada has some cool stuff. But the UK one, I just feel like the humor over there, I just love.
Yes.
I go to London like once or twice a year and I just love it.
It's such
a
fun city. Yeah.
Oh my God, the best. Great comedy scene. Great.
You lived there for a while too.
Yeah. Great television. Great drag. Great clubs. You know, so it's like, I like the UK season. It's like, oh, a lot of these people they're getting are people I'm familiar with. And it's like, oh yeah, these people are really, really entertaining, fun.
Yeah. And their styles have evolved so much too. Yeah. So it's,
I feel
really
like there's a good. There's like a variety there too, I think.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. There's really diverse. Like there's all sorts of forms of styles and aesthetics. Oh my God, this is fun. It leads me into our next segment, wrapping up my artist rapid cues. Justin, I'm going to ask you three questions. Wherever you are at the top of your head, doesn't have to be too thought out, but just intuitively answer question number one.
Okay.
Who is your hero and why?
Probably my biggest. Can I do two?
Yeah, you can do a personal one and an artist one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there is the God, probably artist wise. I mean, I've always been a big Kiss fan. I mean, they've since a kid. I mean, I literally just got back from New York. I was there for their final shows.
I was going to say, they just had a tour. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They just finished the legit last tour. They did their final shows at the Garden. So I was there for that. Cried my eyes out like a total baby. But Paul Stanley's always been my main thing. I mean, he's just, I literally called him my dad's, like, oh, my dad's a performer. I gotta go. He's like, I learned, if it wasn't for them, I was like, I wouldn't be doing any of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and then sometimes people like, they kind of laugh when I say that, or they laugh when I say I'm a big Kiss fan, but also I'm like, well, there's a great quote from Jackie B where she says, like, marijuana is a gateway drug to other drugs. Kiss is a gateway drug to drag. It's like more Kills, hair and makeup than anybody, you know,
period.
The best drag show in the world.
Literally.
So they've always been, and they're a great motivation too, creatively. They're always thinking out of the box and always doing something. They just don't get up there and play. They do something different, or they put
it's about
stuff
the experience
out. Yeah, they don't put out a CD. They put out like a package of a whole with a book and a 3D cover or something. Like, they really go bigger and bigger. They just think bigger and bigger. That's how I kind of always work too. Is like, I just can't just go make a video. It has to be like a packet, like it has to lead to something else or a few other things in there. So that's kind of the biggest thing. And then I guess, I mean, the second one was just like John Cameron Mitchell. I just kind of like his career. It's always fascinating to me. He's the one who wrote and performed Hedwig. And it's like that that has like a theater stuff he's done. He's done a lot of TV. He's done something
also
like Hedwig.
Very rock and roll.
Yeah. He's also, Hedwig has snowballed from a club show to being on Broadway and winning Tonys and stuff. So it's like
incredible.
He has a great body of work. So he's someone I kind of look to as like, oh, that I would like something like that. You know, that's really cool. So
good answers.
Yeah.
I love that.
Cool.
Question number two for wrapping up my part is rapid cues. Favorite music album of all time?
I'm sorry. I'm not very, I'm so bad with the rapid questions. I'm like, I'm just going to ramble.
You're good. It's okay.
I'm
there's no wrong or right way to answer this. This is just like intuitively, like what comes to you.
Oh yeah. Favorite album of all time. Again, I always have to go to the Kiss stuff, but, I'm trying to think of something that still comes back to inspire me. I mean, they did a thing called the solo albums where they took a year where they all wrote a separate album on their own and they put them all out together. So that whole project.
That's pretty rad.
I could go into that forever, but that whole thing I really love. this just list personally, I guess. I know, I'm trying to think of a Madonna reference so that we would have.
It doesn't have to be Madonna, yeah. Just because I'm obsessed.
But I was sort of thinking of like, she's another person that is very much that, where she doesn't just put out an album. It's a whole package. Mm-hmm. It's a whole look. It's a tour. It's and cutting off everything else that you've done and just to really do one whole
thing. Are you going to see her in LA?
I had tickets for the, when it was supposed to be October or something.
Right.
Before she had, you know, was in the hospital and stuff. So, and they just refunded them. So I have to buy a new one and go see.
Oh, girl, you better get them.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there March 4th. We got to hook up.
I think she's doing like 10 days or something. It's something crazy. So it's like, yeah. So I'll definitely be there. But yeah, I'm going to always love like when she put out
March
Erotica.
4th, Monday. That's the day I'm going to be there.
March 4th. Okay. I'll write that down. But, okay. Always Look Like Erotica, I think it's a good album because that whole thing was the book and the whole visuals and that tour, like, oof, that whole era.
Yeah,
I get goosebumps on my face because it's just like,
literally,
so
the photography, the literature, the lyrics, the I mean, I can go on, the fashion, all of it. It was just ahead of its time. The AIDS activism, the LGBTQ rights, the like, it's
she
just,
was so like. Outspoken and so strong about stuff, and like her interviews during that time are amazing. She's really like, you know, owning it, you know, not like not backing down to anything. Obviously so criticized during that time, but she just, you know, just barreled through everybody.
Good
so
answer.
I love that whole era and stuff, and so that's that's great. I mean, she's a
that's
great
kind of like her rock and roll era too, if you think about it. Like that was very like punk of her, right?
And also too, she knows, you know, she started as a drummer in bands, and she was like, used to be at rehearsal spaces and sleep there.
Oh, and her first band was a punk band. Hello.
Yeah.
The,
she says her first influence, Breakfast Club.
Thank you. I couldn't think I was going to say English muffins.
She said she used to like English muffins. She used to, her first influence was like Blondie and Debbie Harry and stuff. Yeah. So it's like, that whole, I mean, that era of stuff. And I used to, I recorded with Jane County before, who's like a trans punk rocker. I used to, play with David Bowie and some.
Brad.
I would drill her for questions about people back. I mean, like, tell me about Madonna. Like, what does she do in New York? Like, what does she do?
Yeah.
She'd be like, oh, yeah, she'd always show up to the clubs, and we'd be like, who is this little new wave bitch that's like showing up at our club? So it's kind of funny to see all these things that people kind of think of different genres or something. They all kind of intertwine, and you know, they have more in common than they don't.
I can't wait to see Celebration. Ugh.
Have you been cheating and looking at the clips of stuff yet? Or are you
I haven't watched it in its entirety, but yes, like if it's in my face, I'll like see it for a little bit and then I'll try to go. Like I want to be in the moments when I'm there. So
I have sometimes like that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say I purposely purchased these Ray-Ban Meta glasses that have a camera. So I will not be on my phone. And if I want to record something, I'm just like, you know what I mean?
Awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. That way I'm not like with the annoying phone up there.
Oh yeah, I can't do that. I'll just look at somebody else's pictures later. I'm like, or I just throw my phone up and don't look. Just go click, 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 click. And then
I want to be the moment. Yeah. I want to dance and like, you know, just be in the fantasy of it all.
I think the first time I saw her was the Drowned World Tour. And I
me
I
too.
Waited,
9/11, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I waited up until the night before to not watch the HBO special. And then I caved. I was like, I just gotta watch it. And it actually kind of helped because I think I was more in the moment because I wasn't looking at all this, you know, the show stuff. I kind of got to see that on TV. And then I just focused on like, that little blonde head is like to see it in person. It's like, that's her. You know?
Yeah. So, and then we hadn't had her since the girly show. So that was like, now I was way too young to watch that.
Same.
I love that. Good answers, Justin. Okay. All right. Wrapping up my four artists, rapid cues. Final question. What is your favorite quote of all time?
Oh God. I don't know. Well, for creativity, I guess for creativity, but also for maybe for growing up gay or things. A quote that just instantly popped in my head. There's Vivian Bond, who is a performer in New York. She's trans, goes by MX Bond. It's like not male, not female, non-binary, kind of before that was even a thing that was talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fantastic book called Tango. And one of the best quotes in there was about how they said like how people are, I think gay people maybe are ADD and, you know, looking at everything and, you know, kind of too wired or something.
Yeah.
But Justin was like, no, I think it's because we grow up the quote is something about like we're paying attention to everything because we've always had to pay attention to everything. Because when you kind of grow up gay, you walk in a room and you're instantly thinking, okay, who's going to not like me? Who can I tell this to? Who can I not, you know, do I got to act this way around this person?
Who's going
to clock
me?
Around this person? Totally. So it's like, we've kind of always grown up doing that. You know, I feel like the younger people these days maybe don't, things are a lot more open, but I think maybe people of our age, you know, it's like, it was always, you had to kind of be self-conscious of who you can be safe around.
Yeah.
So I think I still to this day, you know, I think of holding somebody's hand or something in public, I'm nervous, you know? So I'm looking around the room to be like, is it okay? You know? So it's like, so I think that also applies creatively as well, is that we do kind of grow up looking at everything, looking at people and maybe not being judgmental, but we're just kind of being aware of everything at all time. So that also applies creatively as well. It's like really, you know, learning all kinds of different music and different styles and different performance and different and being around a lot of LGBT people and stuff. It's all, you do get exposed to a variety of things, you know, that maybe just a normal straight person doesn't get to go into, you know. So
yeah, no, part of my daily gratitudes is being queer. I'm like, thank you for making me gay. I thank you for enlightening me, because we are part of that magic that makes the world go around. Totally. Makes the world a little bit different, a little bit more interesting. And can you imagine the world without queer people?
Oh,
what
God,
the heck? There would be no fashion. There would be no music. There would be no arts. There would be no, I mean, so many different things. Like, no, I'm so grateful that I'm queer. Yeah, took a long time to like be aware of that and accept it. But, you know,
yeah, I always say too, like when you're younger, it's like, it is hard. You know, it is hard when you find it. And you kind of got to separate yourself from everybody and be at terms with it in order to tell people. So it's kind of like very introverted, I think, at least for me, because then I was like, oh, once you realize it, you're like, oh no, like, I'm going to have to.
Well, we were raised in a different generation. So that too. So
it was kind of maybe that's the beginning of a little bit more of a loner vibe, was because it was, you had to be careful who to tell, even mom to a dad or something or whatever. But, but I think it's really hard when you grow up, but the joke of it's kind of like, oh, but once you make it to an adult, it's like a party. There's all this great stuff you get to like experience,
so
people you get to be around, and things that you get to do that it's like, oh, again, like, oh, so grateful. Like, how boring would it be to be just a straight person back in Oregon, you know? Like, poof. No.
Yeah. So what was MX Bond Tango's quote again?
Oh, it's something, the quote's like, we're not, it's like, oh God, I'm going to have to write it to you. It's something like, we're not having ADD and not paying attention. We're always paying attention to everything.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Very cool. So thank you.
I know I'm misquoting it, but I'll send it to you.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. I wrote it down just in case, but
okay.
Awesome. All right. Well, this is your time to plug everything in. Where can we find you? Where can we follow you and support your art?
Cool. Right now I'm still DJing. I do Revolver over in West Hollywood. It's a video bar. It's been there forever. And it's been great. I mean, club stuff, I was going to stop doing it after pandemic, because I was like, I don't want to, you know, go back to clubs or anything, but it's been really nice. It is nice to be out and around people, especially after all that. And especially during the times that we're going through politically, it is, I see it all very differently now. It's a lot more like community and pride and
the music that brings the people together. Yeah. And you literally see them light up the room. Like, that's kind of amazing. Yeah.
I used to kind of think of clubs being more sloppy, or maybe pride being a little more drunken messiness or something. But I think last couple of years, it's been very, I mean, it's, you know, you see straight people, you see kids out there, you see families, everybody's supporting during this kind of crazy kind of, you know, extreme political times. So that's been very nice, you know, to be out in that. So, so I've been doing, still at Revolver, and then I'm directing a lot right now. I have like 5 music videos coming out pretty soon, so I'm doing a lot of that. And then I'm still working with World of Wonder. We just did their holiday party. We have Drag Con coming up, and so that's gonna be fun. And that's kind of what I got going on right now.
And where do we follow you?
At Jastin King. Instagram is kind of my main thing. So I tried to do the TikTok with the kids, but I just look like a grandpa out there. So I'm like, no.
I mean, you can take your reels from IG and repurpose them. Music. Like, I mean, there's no rules. And you can do pictures on that on TikTok now as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I started to do it and then I stopped. I'm like, okay, let me stop everything. and think about what I want to put out there, and then
do it if it brings you joy. So don't overwhelm yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
Very cool. All right, you guys, another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast, your one-stop shop place for all things mindfulness, creativity. Justin King, everybody, thank you so much for being here with us. I really appreciate
thank you
and sharing your story.
Thank you. You too.
And like your insight. I appreciate that. You guys, make sure that you download that song, Mi Corazón, you're about to hear, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon. You can also download this podcast wherever you stream your favorite podcast. Share it with somebody that you love. Give us those ratings or the reviews. That way others like yourself are most likely to see it in their algorithms. Until next time, you guys, make an impact in somebody's life. Much love and light to you all. Bye, Justin. Take care, everybody.
Bye.